Hi, this is Mike.
G'day, this is Dave.
What? And hi, this is Matt, and you're listening to the Empty Spiral podcast, the official podcast of the Lacuna Core community, whatever side of the world you're on. G'day, Dave. How are you from
I'm feeling a bit Aussie, mate.
This is
borderline racism, but it's all in good jest. I claim a partial Australian. Well, we've got Australian family who named me Dave the Bogan. Bogan being an Australian term of, we'll say endearment. It's actually a bit of a slur, but I've lived with it and I've accepted it. So there we go. That's my Aussie side.
Oh, right. Okay, so there is reasons for that random g'day, mate.
Oh, yes.
Have they ever commented on the quality of your Australian accent?
Yes.
Good or bad?
Oh, it's terrible.
Oh, right. Okay. Well,
I thought you were South African.
Or Welsh. It's hard to
say. Yeah.
Welcome. And how have you been, aside from pretending to be Australian randomly? What have you been up to?
The usual me stuff. Been seeing a load of films, some good, some pretty bad.
I like the year so far.
Oh dear. You know what? Probably the Bone Temple was good.
That's 28 years later, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, I was pretty impressed with that. It's got a brilliant scene with the Iron Maiden song.
Yeah, everybody's just keeps going on about that. And I mean that in a good way. Yeah. I've not seen it. I've not seen 28 Years Later, the one that came out last year or the year before.
Oh, right. No, it's handy if you see that first.
Yeah, and I hated 28 Weeks Later with a, like, oh my God, I hated that so much. Like, so much. Because I live in London, okay? And you know how the verisimilitude of a story can be based on simple things like, say, getting geography right. Okay? And the Spanish director had clearly never been to London because the geography was just appalling. You're like, there is no, why would you land a helicopter there? Why do you need to go to Hyde Park to land a helicopter from the Isle of Dogs? There's so many places you can land a helicopter. Why are you running to Regent's Park? It's just like the list went on of reasons why I hated that movie. And what geography was one of them. Also, everybody, it was stupid. Anyway, I shut up. So, the Bone Temple, that was good, right? Okay. Sorry, you got me into a 28 weeks later rant. But I should watch the one from last year.
Yes, yeah. They are very much tied together.
Right, okay. Right. Okay, so that's been a highlight film-wise. Anything else you want to tell us? What life has been like in the world of Dave the Bogan?
It was pretty much the same. Bits of Lego, lots of films, a few gigs. Went to see Epica.
Amaranth, cool. And okay.
Charlotte Vessels. That was a fantastic show. That really was good. That was down in your neck of the woods, Hammersmith. I mean, cool. The other side of your neck of the woods. Getting out and walking because it's rained in this country every single day of this year so far.
I know, right? Yeah, well, we were expecting more extreme weather with the climate crisis that we're in the middle of, right? So,
yeah, and I do live near, a wetlands area. That's what they call the lakes.
Right.
And it does tend to get very, very flooded fairly easily.
A little moist, eh?
Yeah. So not much walking or cycling of late.
Yeah, fair enough. How about you, Mr. Dyer? How's Mike been since the last time we spoke, which would have been last year?
Good. Usual of work and more flights again.
So. Have they given you your own seat yet? I know you've got a seat in the Man United Stadium. Have they given you a seat on EasyJet or whatever it is?
Ryanair, maybe. Ryanair. Yeah.
I feel like they should just rename it to MyCare.
I was like, can you sponsor a seat?
You could buy a membership, which supposedly gets you cheaper flights, but doesn't when you read the reviews. I mean, I can get where I need to for under 50 quid return, so got to plan it wisely.
Which is basically cheaper than me trying to get to London.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
My God, I mean, I got a train to Cardiff last week, and now there's over 50 quid it was 50 quid each way. That was £110 return.
Exactly.
Crazy. Isn't that crazy? You can get to Italy quicker than I can get to Cardiff. She's mental. Anyway, so how many times have you been to Italy since December?
Twice. I go every month. So I'm going again a week on Thursday.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely. I remember last time we spoke, you were going to be spending Christmas in Italy. How did that work out? Yeah. Was it good?
Have we not spoken since then?
No, I don't think we have.
No, that was nice. I went there for 10 days. I came back the 30th of December. So that was nice.
Lovely. Any delays or did you get back okay? Or
yeah, it's different. You know, like a different Christmas vibe. And yeah, all good.
Very cool. Did you all sing Christmas carols on Ryanair on the journey?
No.
Did you have sprouts at Christmas?
No, we had full Italian dishes, so no sprouts.
You should have introduced sprouts to Italy, I feel like.
Yeah, and then they'd say, get out of the door.
Yeah. I feel like if you introduced them to Italy, there'd be less of them in this country that we somewhere I could avoid them far easier. I think I must have had sprouts about four times over Christmas. It felt like orcha.
Oh, they're lovely.
Yeah. Oh, what's wrong with you? Vegetables that smell like farts.
Well, eventually, all vegetables smell like farts.
Yeah, but these ones smell like going in, let alone coming out the other end. Outrageous. Just so bad. So bad. Why would any... So, you've got to remember, at some point in our history, humans went, those look edible.
Yeah.
Let's eat those little mini cabbages. Let's eat more of them.
Along with the mini deer running past.
Yeah, and then, I know, let's make them part of our Christmas tradition so that one time of the year where you're supposed to really look forward to enjoying a full-on traditional Christmas dinner, it's sabotaged by the presence of these nasty little balls of green ugly.
Filth.
Filth, that's what they are, they're filth.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not a fan. But anyway, we're not talking about sprouts. Sounds like you've been enjoying the high-flying life of Ryanair then, mate.
Yeah, I had to count, I'm still obviously counting the days, watching that before, touch with my Irish passport application sorted. So in March, I'll have done 80 flights across Europe.
You definitely deserve your own seat,
in the last in the last 3 years. So.
80 flights, oh my God.
Yeah.
There we go.
I know.
Wow. Right, anyway, it's good to see you guys.
And you? What have you been doing?
I'm not a lot, really. I've got a new job now, which I think I mentioned last year, so I've sort of started that more formally. It's keeping me really busy. It's cutting down on my streaming, actually. I haven't really spent a lot of time gaming recently. When I am gaming, I'm playing Ghost of Yotai, which is the successor to Ghost of Tsushima, which, you know, it's a great game, and so is Ghost of Yotai. I feel really guilty. I haven't actually played Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, for so long, for months now. I've got to do it just to complete it. It feels like it's hanging over my head like a sort of sword of Damocles, right? Like, for God's sake, finish the game. So I can
finish me.
What about tabletop games? You been doing any of those?
Tabletop games? What have I been doing recently? I ran a Dungeon Master, to give it its correct term, Dungeons and Dragons last night.
Nice.
With a couple of friends of the podcast, who you'd know. We've been playing that game from before lockdown, and I think I look back on it, I think we managed to get together, it's all online, three times in 2025. We're so bad at scheduling, so I did say, right, we're going to schedule, auto schedule once a month, and we'll see if we can, even if we only keep to every other one, we'll still have doubled the amount of time we got to play this game in 2026 over 2025. So yeah, that was D&D. I've got a game called Simba Room, which is kind of like a dark fantasy game, coming up on this week, actually. I've got some friends coming over to my man cave for that. So I've been frantically painting some miniatures, which I haven't done for a while, just to kind of give them something to look at while we're rolling dice and killing each other. Oh, it's been good. I haven't done as much as I would like to, but again, just everything's been really frantic, really. And I feel like I'm not in the middle of lots of things, but not really doing anything, one thing in particular, if you see what I mean. What I've got is too much work in progress. If you're in software development, you'll know what that means. So like, I'm just task switching all the time between computer stuff and gaming stuff and the kind of core stuff and life stuff and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's all good fun. Spent the entire weekend looking after my grandson, which was amazing. That's one of the reasons why why I've not got so many things done is I'm investing more time with the family, which is the best thing, right? So it's just far more important than anything else I do. Absolutely, I'm just loving it. So yeah, I'm a totally devoted granddad, and people can say, "Oh, you're a granddad," and I'm like, "Yeah, it's amazing." Just yeah, I love it. Anyway, that's me. Let's talk about the Kuna Coil. They are on tour at the moment
Tour in Australia.
In Australia. That's why he did the Australian accent thing. Oh my god, it all glues together, doesn't it? Right. Okay. So yes. Are you not going over to Australia and staying with your family so that you can get a show in?
No, I've never been. So no plans, unfortunately.
Slightly disappointed in you, mate. You didn't take the opportunity to see Lacuna Coil on the other side of the flat earth.
Yeah, fair suck of the sauce bottle.
What? Sorry, Mike, what did he say?
I've got no idea what that means.
I think it was fair suck of the sauce bottle.
That's it, yeah.
Sounds a bit rude. Not going to lie, sounds a bit rude. Okay, well, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
A good thing. It's a good thing.
Right.
You know, you've had a good shot, basically.
Do the Australians...
It's like give it a chance, that kind of expression.
Oh, right. The Australians suck on the sauce bottle a lot? Is that a thing they do?
I don't know how it originated. I just know that I use it.
Right. Okay, good. Let's move on. Lacuna Coil are currently in Australia and will be with a little kind of stop off in Tokyo on their way home. They'll be back in Italy, we assume, pretty soon. And then next month, going to the US. Anybody going to the US to join them? I'm not this time.
It clashes. So I can't go away in March, usually, because I help backstage at the theatre.
Which is not a euphemism, just in case anybody is wondering.
So this is 27 years I've done this year. So a bit gutted that New York is the first stop. Yeah. If it was the last stop, I probably would have flown out.
Yeah.
C'est la vie. It's not the first tour I've missed in the US. Same with you. So
yeah.
It's going to be the same set list that we've seen. So hang fire until something else.
Let's hope that they do another European tour at the end of this year. I don't know if they will. I kind of hope they will. Not spoken to them about it. But
at least we do know a few callers who are definitely doing dates on the US tour, so want to drop by and tell us how it was,
that'll be quite good. If you are doing the US tour and you want to talk about it, you want to review it, or just kind of point a laugh and make us feel jealous, also fine. Just reach out to us, you know, the normal channels, and we'll invite you onto the podcast, and you can have we can have airtime with us. Tell us all about what we're missing, because we will be slightly gutted that we're not there, but again hoping that later on in the year we'll get a chance for more Lacuna Coil closer to our shores.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So let's move on to the main event. So we have a special interview with Mackie. I did the interview back in November during the UK tour on the tour bus. Managed to sort of corner him and said, "Oi, you there now, let's record something." And he didn't punch me and walk away, which was quite pleasant.
Can you hear me?
1 2 1 2 1 2
Hey!
There you go.
But I'm not gonna scream, okay.
You can scream. I don't mind. No. You're in the privacy of your own bus, it's fine.
Too tired to scream.
So Mackie.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Empty Spiral Podcast for the millionth time.
Hello. Yeah, I'm back.
You're back. I'm back. The Mackie returns. So we are in Cardiff.
Mm-hmm.
And we are very near the end of the European tour.
Yeah.
Which is very near the end of all touring for 2025.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's Christmas almost.
My first question is, do you remember what country you're from? Because
yeah, I'm from Lebanon. And but I grew up in Mongolia. And,
you just lost track.
I used to live in Argentina, but
do you vaguely remember a time of you living in Italy?
Yeah. You're right, in Milano.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah.
Out of Milano.
But you've not been there at all because you've been all over the world.
I was going home just to take a shower and laundry, and I'm fucking the office again.
That's like my son from university would come home to take a shit.
Yeah, basically, exactly. Basically, it's the same. Yeah. Yeah.
So, aside from the fact you're at the end of the tour, right? How's it been?
Very good.
Yeah?
Very good. Actually, one of the best tour we ever made in Europe, I think.
Yeah?
Almost all the shows sold out, or very close to sold out.
Yeah.
In every country, actually. Even the countries we didn't expect.
Mm-hmm.
Like Scandinavia, like in Germany, Austria, Switzerland. Very, very, very good. Very happy about it, actually.
And the crowds,
really enjoyed the songs and the show. They are really into the show, and I really like that, especially in those countries I just said.
Yeah.
Because usually those countries, I'm not going to say that they don't like us, you know, but I don't know. Something changed. Definitely something changed because we had way more people now, and they were alive. Mm. I don't know how to say that, you know.
Mm-hmm. More energized.
They have energy, you know. Usually they all didn't be here, just sing, or just stay there watching you, you know. And at the end, they go to buy a lot of merch. And you say, why you buy merch? It looks like that you didn't enjoy the show. Yeah. You know, at this time, you did.
Yeah.
So it was, it's been very, very, very weird, you know. But yeah, actually, I think so far is the best tour in South America ever, in Europe ever. Sorry, okay, my friend. Okay, sorry. Yeah, I just confused me with the fucking chink. Yeah, in Europe ever, you know. And I'm super happy. Let's say that in the past, when we were thinking about going to play in Scandinavia, our enthusiasm were, why we have to do that?
Yeah.
This time, actually, I don't know how to say that in English, ci siamo ricreduti tantissimo. It's been... honestly, I can't wait to go back there to play.
That's lovely.
That's very good. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know what's changed? Is it the
style of music change? Maybe the new amazing music. Maybe the mentality of the people. Maybe they are more open mind now with other bands or other type of music. I don't know honestly. I don't know, but I'm happy about it.
But that's great after so many years.
Maybe new generation, younger people are more into every kind of music, and it doesn't care if it's all black metal or extreme whatever. They just love music, disco. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You've discovered a new area then, basically, and they've discovered you. That's amazing.
Exactly. So honestly, I don't know what happens, but we are very happy about it.
So, I've been to 4 shows so far. Two more to go.
Yeah.
The set list.
Yes.
Really interesting set list, isn't it?
I don't know. Yeah, what do you think?
It's really good from quite a few albums, right? Kind of quite eclectic, pacey. It's got some kind of, you know, edgy high songs and a couple of breaks. It's a great set list.
Awesome.
Who decided the set list?
Just sit down talking with the other guys and what we're gonna do, obviously we need to play new stuff.
Yep.
And after 28 years, we have a lot of singles.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not easy to make a set list now.
No, I can't imagine.
Or obviously, if you go on stage and you play for 3-4 hours, play all the hits and then play all the songs you love and then something new album. But it's not like that.
It's not going to happen, is it?
No, it's not going to happen. That's a dream for the bands. They can play one a week, you know. But for bands, they play 4 or 5 shows a week. play more than an hour 20, an hour 30 minutes, it's a lot, yeah. Especially for singers, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And we play now an hour 35, an hour 40 minute sets since 2 months. And actually, Christina, she's and Andrea. I mean, for Andrea, it's a bit more easy, but for Christina, it's very hard.
Yeah.
Now she's almost over, you know. And,
ready to go home and
It's a lot. That's actually we are thinking about cut some song for the next run in the United States, because if we do that, we will not do another 2 months of tour, you know. So, but mostly it's going to be obviously the new album, and then keep some singles. I mean, we just bring back songs like "Intoxicated," "Spellbound," that
"Kill the Light."
"Kill the Light" that we don't used to play since ages, you know. But obviously we had to cut songs like "Trip to the Darkness," "Our Truth," and blah blah blah. But that's.
But I think they're all kind of equally popular and well known now, right? So I think you can afford to cut "Our Truth" and replace it with "Spellbound."
Absolutely.
I don't think people are going to go, "Oh my God, they didn't play "Our Truth." I think for those of us that go to so many shows, we're like, "Well, where's "Our Truth?"
I mean, it's always a gamble because obviously personal taste. No, I would love to play other songs.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm not really into all the singles or all the hits like maybe the fans or other or you guys. You know. Mm.
Our tastes are quite similar, so I can only imagine you.
But
like,
I would love to play "I Don't Believe in Tomorrow."
Yeah,
and maybe I'm sure there's a lot of people that they know Lacuna Coil, they don't even know that song. You know, they want to listen, fucking enjoy the silence, or whatever, or "Heaven's a Lie." Okay, we are playing at least we are playing the newer version.
Yeah,
so at least we enjoy more playing that song live. You know,
and "Swamped" as well.
Yeah,
"Swamped."
And "Swamped."
New version.
You know, at least and "Tightrope." You know, but we have to choose. You know, for example, next run, I think we will put some new song as well.
"Sleep Paralysis."
We don't know yet.
Come on.
We don't know yet.
But
you're not coming to America, so what's
well, maybe I will if you if I hear
if you come, I will change the set list for you.
Oh, thank you, sir.
No, I will not. I'm joking.
It was just a moment there. I thought, "Current Obsession," "Sleep Paralysis."
See, even that, you know, is it's true. I mean, more those songs are more for. To listen then play.
I get it.
I love "Sleep Paralysis," but thinking about play that song, it might be amazing, it might be so fucking because it's really different to play something and listen something, you know.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of songs, slow songs, very very emotional or goth or whatever songs that I love from Lacuna Coil I don't want to play, and I'm sure we will never play it, you know. But that doesn't mean that we don't like it. We love it, you know. It's just that we don't want to do a doom dark show, you know, especially if you go out with other bands that are more alive, you know. I mean, put some slow songs, a couple like "Downfall" on this run, you know.
So which is a beautiful song.
Perfect, you know. But do outset of that, I feel that I will fall asleep on stage after outset. I mean, I love
Catatonia. No one needs to see the bassist.
I love Catatonia, but we are not Catatonia. So
exactly,
they do just that type of music, you know. And I expect that, and they play that, and that's it, you know. But as far as we are a mix, you know, of everything. We have happy song, funny song, fast song, slow song, live show. To us, it's more fun playing more. These are live song, like "Host in the Shadow," like "Oxygen," "Gravity," this stuff. I wish you were there, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Which is amazing live, right?
It is amazing. It's so cheesy, but it is getting catchy, you know. But I fucking love it,
You see the crowd response.
You see the crowd, exactly. Everybody's singing. Nice. I mean, it's a metal show with a cheesy, catchy song, but everybody's singing it, you know.
Everybody's loving it, yeah. I tell you what has not surprised me, it shouldn't surprise me, but I guess it has a little bit. It's just how much of a, I guess I want to say crowd pleaser, Swamp Disease. It's right at the end of the set list, right? You know, just before the end.
Mm-hmm.
The first bars of Swamp comes on.
Yeah.
And if you look, you can see the smiles on everybody's faces.
Yeah, it's like
it's such an iconic song, and everybody loves singing along to it. Right? And it's just, it's a great way to, not quite end, because then you have, like, Livermore, which is a perfect ending. I love that song so much. But Swamped, right near the end of the set,
it's
just a, whether it was by mistake or it was on purpose, it's like a stroke of genius, because everybody's up for it.
I that's the point. Okay, let's talk about the two main Heaven's Ally and Swamped.
Yeah.
But Heaven's Ally, the new version, is very introspective and it's very dark.
Yeah.
You know? And I love that in the set, in the spot, it is, you know? Because now he has this different, actually, this real vibe, you know? It's really Heaven's Ally now. But Swamped, it's just basically the same. We changed it a lot, but it's further. But the feeling and the feeling you have is exactly the same of the original one. Yeah. You know, you don't even think that the old one it was so slow compared to this one. You know, so it's perfect in that place. And I know that it was so iconic, the vocal part at the beginning. You know, I mean the song in general. That we said we need to put it there. We need to put it first, but we need to have it in the set at the end. The people need to wait for that, and I'm sure the people want to listen that song.
Yeah, you know.
And actually, it happens, and so great
you
result.
You can see that they've been rewarded for waiting.
We say goal. It's a goal. You know, it's a goal. Yeah, because it works perfectly as we were thinking about. You know, so we thought.
Clearly a lot of thought has gone into the set. As I was just thinking again about Never Dawn being at the end, because that kind of reprise where it comes up and just, you know, good night right at the end, it's such a great way to
that was another, because we used to finish with Nothing Stands in Our Way, you know. Yeah. So change it. Was kind of weird.
To finish with Daylight Dancer. Let's not forget about Daylight Dancer.
Yeah, 2,000 million ago.
Yeah, but come on. Every time I heard that song, I used to get my coat and leave wherever I was.
At the end, it was at the beginning. It was Daylight Dancer. No. But then we replaced.
I'm out of here.
Then we replaced that with Nothing Stands in Our Way. Yeah, that is a strong message and everything.
Yeah.
So. Move it to Never Dawn. That to me is the perfect song to start or to finish. It's the same reason why I put that song at the end of the album.
Remember,
a lot of people told me why you put that song. It's the best song in the album. You put it at the end. So what? Why? Because you don't want to listen. This is not anymore that you go to a store, a record store, and you have the tower with the where you don't listen the song, and you listen the first three songs and then you leave. You know.
Yeah.
Now it's like everything is digital. You can choose everything you want.
Absolutely.
You know? So does it make sense? I just put it at the end because to me that's the last chapter of A Sleepless in Paris.
That's what I said.
You know, even if it's the first one I wrote, doesn't matter. Yeah. You know?
I remember thinking to myself, surprised that it wasn't the first song, because that the opening run, you know, it's just a bombastic opening.
Yeah.
And I thought, it's got to be first. But then when you hear The Siege, you think, well, no, this is just as good. You know,
that rises up, The Siege, right?
The Siege is...
it just kicks
in. The beginning of that's why we start the encore with that one, because it's really... You can feel it, that is something... Mm-hmm. It is just a starting point on something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same for Never Done at the End, or Still Keeping, Nothing Stands in Our Way. Or obviously, even Beneficium is one of our favorite ending of the first part, you know?
Yeah.
You know? But, I mean, it is what it is. We are very happy about the set list. Play this set list is very good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't feel bored, you know?
I love the music.
He has a very good flow, you know?
Yeah, so,
I'm very happy about it. It's not stressful for the hands, in my case, because I have a lot of problems with, you know, broken hands, ligament, blah, blah, blah. So it's not stressful. So it's very good. We are super happy about it. And obviously, I miss the songs like Beneficium, because I love to play that song. Mm-hmm. I miss definitely Now or Never. I miss... House of Shame. I miss Delirium. I mean, it's all those songs that I'd really like to play,
that
you
is,
know.
That is on there, that's an iconic song, I think.
But even that, you know, we start to play those songs on these this year, you know, but it was too stressful for Christina.
Mm-hmm.
When you have to play that every night, they're all very high, you know, all non-stop, no time to breathe, just sing. That's very stressful for her voice. Yeah. And she still has the problem of her throat. So,
yeah, I mean, she's doing
So she needs to be took care about.
She's doing an incredible job.
Yeah, but she needs to care about it. Because if you stress too much, then...
Damage.
You can damage for real, and then you really need a while to fix that problem. Yeah, you know? So we need to be careful about that. Some people understand that. Some fans, they will never understand that. They will just want, you know. But I mean, it is what it is.
It depends on the relationship you have with the man, right? If it's like a, I'm here for the music. I don't care how it's affecting you. You need to play the music to me. Then that's a very selfish thing that people do, right? But if you know the people, it's like, oh, please, 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 look after yourself.
You know what? Actually, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Tell me some. What do you think about In Nomine Patris? Because I love that song, obviously. I really love that song.
What I think of the song or what I think of the performance?
Not the performance. Live.
So I love the song. And yeah, I love the live bit. I think the bit at the beginning where Christina sort of prays, I'm sure that confuses people.
Excel.
And I really like, I mean, the first time she did it, it confused me. I'm like, what's going on here?
Right? Yeah.
But as soon as she says, In Nomine Patris, and then it kicks in, it works.
Right.
But there's that bit where people are like, what the hell is
this? Excel. Yeah, like, I have the same vibe, but because I still feel people talking or laughing, you know, say bullshit. You know, when you're talking at the show, I do that all the time. Yeah, you know, it's not that, but I feel that thing, sir. But no, I was talking more about the performance, because to me that song is one of those songs very good when you listen to the song, but play is not very exciting, you know.
Okay.
To me, on my part of view, actually the parts are super easy, are all the same, and it's not very. I don't really like to play that song. Let's say way, you know.
No, I get it.
And but I really love the song.
Yeah.
So he has a very good flow. He has a lot of changes. I mean. So I was just wondering how is the feeling when you listen to the song live? If it sounds good, if you have a good...
Yeah, it does to me. But I mean, I love the song anyway, okay? And I do think it's a song that works well live.
Okay.
And obviously, you're getting a completely different perspective. As a player, you know, as a member of the band, as a bassist. But for those of us out there watching it, I think it's got... good back and forth between Andy and Christina.
Yeah.
Okay. It's got a really strong hook in it. Okay.
Yes.
The chorus is great. I think it's a great song live. I really
okay,
do.
Okay.
I think the two songs on the album that will probably struck, like, I think the song Sleepless Empire doesn't feel like a live song to me. Do, 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 do. You know that. Why am I telling you what the song looks like?
We need to try that song.
Yeah, it feels to me like it's got a kind of a pace about it that I wondered if you would enjoy playing it live, because you know you say about getting bored. I wonder if that you. I don't know. It's your song. You made it. You tell me whether you like it.
Yeah.
But I can see it being a song that wouldn't translate as well as, say, Host in the Shadow or Never Dawn or Oxygen or Gravity or whatever. Okay.
Right.
I totally get what you're just saying about. Sleep Paralysis, but I love that song so much, I don't care, I want to hear it live.
I mean, I would love to try. I mean, I want to play all of them, you know.
What about Scarecrow?
Just when you play, but Scarecrow, we will play that for sure.
Cool,
I mean,
cool.
That's made just for live.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it actually is even complicated, more technical compared to other songs, let's say that, you know, just to have fun a bit more. You know, you never know, baby. Once you play the songs, you realize if it's good or not when you play.
Yeah,
you know?
Interesting.
For example, to me, it's not fun even Gravity, you know. But the point is, when I write music, I don't care about my bass. I mean, I just care about the music and the result.
Yeah.
You know, so who cares about bass?
So tell me, you know, obviously when you're constructing the song, when you're composing the song for the first time on your computer, and then you're recording in the recording studio, what I'm hearing is that that's a very different experience for you than the first time you rehearse it to play it live, and you play it live and you say, okay, this is how it feels when I play it live, rather than when I'm playing individual parts and mixing it in the studio.
Right, exactly. But what I did actually this time, because I changed completely the process that I used to have and do, is that I was playing the song straight from the top to the end. I was doing that with the guitar, not with the bass, but yeah. You can have the feeling when is made, the parts are made good and are very enjoyable to play, you know?
Sure.
So you started
to know from the outset.
Yeah, for the bass it's a different story because with all the problems I have, I keep the bass much simpler. It's much simple, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not stressful to me play live and I can play the fucking show, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's why. But yeah, when I did that actually. And for example, when I did the Oxygen, you know, okay, this is great. It's a great song to play live. It's fun, you know? Mm-hmm. You are waiting that song, you know, because it's fun to play, you know?
Do you go into the recording process going, okay, the next song I compose, I want to make a live song?
I do that. I did that with Oxygen, I did that with Scarecrow.
Okay.
I did that. That's clear, you know. I did that with Neverdone, definitely.
For sure.
You know, definitely. I did that with I Wish You Were Dead.
Yeah.
I used to do that. I did that when I did Beneficium. All those songs are very enjoyable to play.
Like enjoying the silence.
Actually, I don't enjoy the silence. But yeah, the rest I do. See? But yeah, enjoy the silence. It's fun to play. I just sick about play that song.
Because... Well, I think there's quite a few of us that are glad that it's not on the set list.
Yeah, no, I'm super happy.
And the reason I say that is I love your interpretation of Enjoy the Silence. Okay.
Yeah.
I love your version of it. I love your version of, you know, Live to Tell, and, you know.
Oh, that's one, me too.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to hear that on of the slow songs. Like, I could well imagine that instead of Downfall one time, right? You know, or whatever, a slow song. Or Wide Awake, or, you know, one of those, right? Live to Tell. But I think that there are songs that just work live really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And songs like Wish You Were Dead and Swamped and Gravity, and, you know, they're just exciting songs to play.
Mm-hmm.
Are there ones, what's the song that you could really look forward to when you, you know, what's your favorite song to play live?
My favorite ever?
Yeah.
That's not easy.
Heaven's Alive, of course.
No, but actually, that, as far you know, that I didn't like the original version, because to me it wasn't very gothic and very emotional as the new version. Now I really like to play that, but not because it's enjoyable to play, because I really feel goosebumps when I play that song now. And I play that song for years without goosebumps, and just play because the people thought it was the single, and it became out at that Heaven's Alive, you know. So, but it is a very different thing. Now I really like to play that song live, and that's why he's still in the set.
Yeah, it's amazing song.
You know, some people says, why you don't put the original one? Because the people need to know this one, and that's it. Then the only difference, actually, if you think, is just one part of the chorus.
Yeah.
The rest is exactly the same, because I just did half time, you know, so it's more dark and gothic.
It's definitely more
but rough. I didn't change nothing. The vocals is
and
there.
You got the chorus.
The chorus is there. Yeah. I just put a guitar solo in a part, in a useless part to me. It wasn't the original song. It was meaning nothing, you know. It was just a pain in the ass for Chicho to play that part, to Kriza, to play that part, to everything so far from a goth, you know.
Yeah.
So, but it is what it is. It was it was 20 years ago, you know. But now, actually, I really enjoy playing that song, really. And now I can say that probably is one of my favorite songs of Lacuna Coil.
It's definitely regenerated my love for it, because it was never like, I never disliked it, you know. It was it was a solid, it still is a solid Lacuna Coil song, right? And it was one that you, it was what I would describe as a comfort song. You knew you were going to hear it, mm-hmm. you knew you could sing it along, you get a bit of crown, you know, you get that kind of going.
Yeah.
But the new version, XX, really, it was one of the highlights of Carmelize XX for me, because it was just so
everyone
good.
Everyone was expecting that.
Yeah,
it was I want to see what he wrote.
Yeah, it was just so good. And hearing the new version live, I think is amazing.
I told you already that's why it was the most stressful to make. And it's the first one I make. And I spent more than 1 month just to make that fucking song.
Yeah.
Then in 1 month, I've remade all the others, you know. But I spent really, I changed that so many times. And actually, the first version of this version, it was way slower. And it was super fucking dark.
Really?
Oh, yes. Hold on. That was perfect. Then, talking to the others, that it was very, very good. Introspective, just push it more close to the rest, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And so I keep a half time, but closer to the original timing. Mm-hmm. Okay. But the beginning, it was very typo negative version.
So. Yeah, I can wear it. When you said that,
it was really, it was very typo negative, you know. But yeah, it is what it is.
So I lost my train of thought when I was talking about
that. Sorry.
Enjoy the silence, and as you say, you're no longer playing it. I think there became a time where we just assumed that, especially in the UK, given it was a Depeche Mode song, that we were always going to get Enjoy the Silence. And I think there were loads of us who, even though we like Enjoy the Silence, I like Enjoy the Silence, I like your interpretation of it. As you said earlier, you know, you've got a big backlog of songs now, right?
Excel.
You don't need to play a cover song. Exactly,
that's my point of view. But for the others, they always say, yeah, my Spotify is the number one. I don't give a fuck about Spotify is the number one, because Spotify obviously number one because it's the most listened, but it doesn't mean that it is a representative of what we are.
Exactly.
No, and actually we are not Enjoy the Silence.
No.
There is a lot of people that still think that Lacuna Coil do the same shit we were doing 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And they hate us, or they don't like us, because they don't go to listen to new stuff. Mm. The new, recent, from Block and Crown Halo. You know, we change. We are more heavy.
Yeah.
You know, and the people then.
And it's quite heavy.
Then
like,
they show up.
Black Anima.
They show up just. Nobody knows why, on our show, on a festival show. Oh, do you really play this music? Yeah, I heard that you were Enjoy the Silence. That, you know, that's a problem with Spotify.
Closer
on Spotify, they should put the new release in top, not the best selling number, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know how it works that. But actually, to me, that's not a good commercial. It did not. Good commercial is right.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a good window, you know, for us, because we are not that. No. We are new. We are definitely new since 10 years now.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that the young generation, they like more us now, and then they can appreciate the
you said about Scandinavian countries, right?
Exactly.
Back into you because of the heavier growls and the heavier bass and the darker tones
we've had
for the last
but then you can go back to the catalog, you know, like you can listen to the old stuff, you say, wow, that's good, you know. But you just have that. Everybody does that. I'm not judge anyone, you know. It's just, I do the same, you know, because sometimes your brain and your memories is on that band at that period of time and say, I don't like it. Yeah. You will never like it. You don't even know if they still exist, if they play and they change maybe completely different type of music. Mm-hmm. And maybe you will love them, but you don't listen because they say, I don't like that band, you know. And that's a big mistake of a lot of people. So,
yeah, I think it's a bit. But it also, you know, your sound, Lacuna Coil sound, and I know we talk about this a lot, it has evolved over the years, okay? It has gone through. You've still maintained, you know, you know better than I, you've maintained the Lacuna Coil hooks, the Lacuna Coil sound.
Yeah,
they're your sound.
The core is
the
same.
The Mackie sound, right? But you have eclipsed and gone through various genres or subgenres of the music. You know, you can't say that Shallow Life is the same as Sleepless Empire.
No, definitely. Absolutely.
Or, you know, Inner Reverie is the same as Karma Code. They've got things that are different about them.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And there will be people. I think one of the things that makes Lacuna Call such the powerhouse it is that there is a song for everyone.
Yeah.
Whether you like heavy songs or light songs.
I mean,
but it does mean that the fan base, those people that have been with you for 20 years,
yes,
they are the people that are listening to different types of music. They're not just going to listen to black metal or doom metal or power metal. And because if they do that, they're going to find that you've got songs like that.
Yeah.
But they're only a percentage of your overall catalogue. So they have to accept that your musical journey changes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but that's what we are, basically. Mm. But because we like and we listen different type of music, we listen music from the 70s and from the 2025, you know, we just don't. We are not those guys, Clay. They say, "Oh, there's no more good music after 2000," you know, or they say after 98. Oh yeah, whatever. Yeah. 1980. Sorry.
Yeah.
And but I mean,
you can't convince those guys. They're never gonna like music.
That's a different story.
That's just not a mountain.
Exactly. Climbing. That's a different story. But yeah, but in our case, I always saw us. I always see, I will say whatever, you know. I don't want to pretend like them because it is one of my favorite bands ever, but it's like Faith No More, okay? Which music they play? Which kind of music they play? You never put Faith No More in any genre.
You don't put them in a category, do you? You never put
Faith No More in any category because they are Faith No More. That's it.
Do their own thing.
You know? And then being one of my favorite band ever since day one, you know, I always saw Lacuna Coil like Faith No More in a different type of music, but means do whatever you like to do, that's it, follow what is your passion, and do it. You know how many people ask me why you don't play the same music of Epica or Nightwish? Because I don't like it. I mean, I like them. They're a friend of mine. They play their music, but it's not my music. I don't like symphonic metal or epic. Why you have to make that? I can't write that song like that.
It's not going to be an easy.
Yeah, I can. I can easily write those songs as well. I mean, Beneficium in a way is not so far from that thing. You know, but it's not what we are. You know, it's just made something different just to be famous, be more famous, or whatever. It's not, this is, when I go on stage, I love to play what I play because it comes from my heart, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing it still make me wants to make music after 30 years, you know. If I have to write music just because I need to be group bigger and do better on stage, but do something on stage that I don't like, no, that's not me. Mm. So, it is.
Do you ever get any external pressure from, say,
No, nobody. It's just friends, you know. They ask me why you do something a little bit more epic, it would be better for the name of the band because you will be more into that type of music. No, that's what I don't want. That you know, the only connection we have with those band that we know them, they're all friends. You know, is just that we have a female voice.
Yep,
that's it.
Yep.
You know, but that's the only connection we have, and then we are friends, and then we are epic in a way. We are gothic; they are epic. The other one are symphonic. You know, it's all the root is the same. You know,
of course,
but that's different. Trees
I guess they're looking from a distance, people go, well, you've got a female singer, so it must be operatic because everybody else is operatic.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they hear you, you go, exactly. Where's the operatic, where is it, where they're looking for
exactly
it?
And going, I mean
well if you, you know, they're all going to be successful over there, so if you want to join them over there,
absolutely,
you've got to be more operatic, you know. No, we're doing our own thing.
Absolutely, exactly. You know, it's the same thing. I love all those girls, you know, they do that. I love Simone. I love all this girl that they make very good music, symphonic music, but it's not my stuff, so I don't want to do that. And the result is, if I feel that I can make a song like Beneficio, Mm-hmm. But not thinking about that, thinking about, wow, I like this song, you know.
It's going to be your song.
And otherwise, I can make a song that sounds like Korn, or make a song that sounds like Cannibal Corpse, and I don't care, because I do what I like to do, you know. And in all these, we still have people follow us and love us.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter what.
That diversity in your music is, an, for me at least, and many people like me, that, you know, we've been following you for
I think, the glue of the oldies is Christina, you know. And, no?
No, for me,
yeah.
No. I'm sorry, Christina, if you listen to this. The glue, for me,
yeah,
is the relationship between Andrea and Christina vocally.
Oh yeah,
with
definitely.
Your music.
No, no, okay. Definitely. That's like we always work all three together.
Yeah,
that's why.
Exactly.
But I mean, I would say Christina, because you know, is the thinker, you notice more, you know,
yeah,
in the band, blah
yeah,
blah blah. But I mean, we will never lose the core. The core of the band is definitely the way I write music for Christina and Andrea.
Yes.
So
That's me.
I don't write music for musician. There is probably 1,000 musicians that don't give a fuck about the riff we do.
Yeah.
But this is other type of music. It's a different. It's not. If you want to do riff, you listen Periphery. That's fine. You know. If you wanted to listen punk rock, three chords and na 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 na. There's nothing of techniques. But it's enjoyable music, and you go there and mosh pit and have fun and drinking beer and singing the song. Every music is different, you know, and every music has a different point, goal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Goal, feelings, etc.
Our goal is make the people come to you and say, "You saved my life," you know, and
wow,
you listen to me. That's the goal of the music,
to inspire,
you know,
people.
It's not that, oh, you're number one in the chart, you sell me an album, good. Not that. I don't write music for that. I write music for the people that
for me,
thank you, you saved my life with that song.
How does that make you feel with someone?
Amazing. It's the only reason why I'm still here, for making music.
Wow.
That's it. It's all about that.
That must be so humbling when someone comes up to you and says, "You saved my life."
And then it sounds like a joke. It's not a joke.
No,
it's not fucking real. It's real. It's reality. It's life.
Yeah.
You know, and it means something. It means something, and it's a good reason to go on. Definitely.
Absolutely. So, wow. Do you know what? I think we should leave it on that note. Actually, what an amazing journey you guys are on. Thank you so much for the music, as always.
You're welcome.
It's always a pleasure.
A pleasure.
Here's a little fact for you.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I interviewed you
was
in Cardiff.
At the fucking pub?
It was upstairs from the venue, in a little room, an empty room, an echoing room.
Okay.
And you barely understood English, and my accent was faster than English in London, and you don't understand it anyway. But I remember that interview.
It was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago.
I remember another interview we did at the pub.
Yeah,
it was still don't talking, don't speak English, and the pub, it was a lot of music in it, and it was a fucking chaos. We were drinking beer.
Yeah.
And you were talking very low with your London accent. And
you didn't understand.
Carcel. Okay.
Yeah,
I remember. Yeah. I don't remember where we were.
I think we were probably in Newcastle.
In Newcastle, okay, makes sense.
I remember a pub in Newcastle. In fact, we walked past it this week, and we said, that is where we were.
Okay.
Teague was there. Anyway.
Anyway.
Thank you very much for
taking
time.
You're welcome, man. I love you.
Right at the end, always amazing talking to you. Until next time.
Love you.
Thank you again to Mackie for joining us on the podcast and chilling out. I hope you liked it. I really like getting a chance to speak to him, because I find him so engaging, so very, very genuine. And he really loves what he does, and it always comes through in the conversation. So thanks, mate. Really appreciate it. And until next time. Yeah.
in this episode, we are reviewing the song, the single, the legend that is Host in the Shadow, taken, of course, from Sleepless Empire, which is a little bit over a year old now. Wow, where did the time go? And we're still reviewing it, which is more a reflection on our frequency than anything else. Okay, who wants to go first and stop me from talking?
I can't even remember who went first last time.
I think it was me. I think I went first, but I Wish You Were Dead. Pretty sure of it. Dave, do you want to go first to kick us off?
Yeah, can do. It was one of the big sounding single. I think as a decent summary. It's funny actually. Pretty much every Lacuna Coil song is multifaceted. There's different elements. Sometimes it's different elements within the same song, and sometimes.
Do you say elephants?
Elements, okay. Not elephants.
I'm sure he said it's different elephants.
I'm fairly certain they haven't written a song about different elephants.
Well, they
even
should.
even though there was the emblem for Delirium. But anyway, digress. Nothing to do with elephants. Elements.
Okay. Elements. Okay.
Fine. That contrast or enhance each other as part of that song construction. Mm-hmm. But with this one, and it might just be me, but it seems one of the greatest two halves of a song
being
put together. So for me, there's the verse, which is this brutal metal aggression trade-off between Randy and Andy, the vocals. And I mean, it's lovely they've got Randy to guest on this. It's quite a big scoop. But having said that, Andy himself is more than capable of just handling everything there, and he's proved that every night that they play it live throughout the tours. So yeah, Randy's brilliant, but it doesn't need him to carry the song at all. But that verse, it is a monstrous kind of metal section, and I wonder if that could be a song of its own. You know, it doesn't need much more other than more of that verse pretty much all the way through. It could be a great metal banger. But then you've got the chorus, and again, that's like a completely different half of this song, this huge, enormous, inescapable melody of a chorus, and it's a proper earworm. And is that another song in itself? Could that be fleshed? Well, no, fleshed out. But especially because it's got that melodic bridge as well, where it expands towards the end. So in my mind, they could be two really great songs, even though they're melded together into one really great song.
Gotcha.
So I think that's my takeaway. There's just a lot going on.
Mm.
There's the aggression, there's the huge chorus that you want to sing along to, and yes, yeah, brilliant. Ooh. Two great parts.
Okay, Mike, what would you like to add? Tell us about Host in the Shadow.
I agree with Dave. Like he says, it's the two separate things, but I also think it, at the start, with the opening synth and the vibe and everything with the strings, to that, for me, it ties it all almost back to Comalize as well when you listen to it. There's certain elements of that thrown in, and that's where it throws the curveball, that you have that and you think it's going to be something very soft and melodic, and then bang, and then you go into the opening verse. And yeah, for me, originally, you had to re-listen to it to see where Randy and Andy are both separate. But obviously, the more you listen to it, and obviously seeing it live, it's very different. And I think that it works how it's got like a verse of Randy, pre-chorus, chorus in that that order. Overall, I think the mashup as well of all that's going on with the singing and the music, of how heavy it is with the drum work and the guitars and everything all thrown into the mix. It's and the little spoken word bit at the end is the thing that is a nice little touch to bring it all together.
Yeah, that little creepy whisper.
Yeah. To me, I know they did the video for it and it's a live thing. It would be amazing if they did a separate video for it would work. Works well, very light. Works very well live. Kind of can't even speak. And overall, it's just incredible. I think it's a modern day for me. It's the Nothing Stands in Our Way for Sleepless Empire.
Interesting. It does have that positive vibe about it, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
And I think it's her vocal delivery on it. I think you've got the two heavy bits and her, the way that she sounds in the style of it on that part of the process works that way for me.
Yeah, I mean, so I must admit, for me, this was definitely a grower.
Mm.
I think when I first heard the single, which obviously came out before the album last year, I felt, okay, this is really radio friendly. But I didn't really get it. It took me a little while to get it. And when I listened to the album and in totality, and then subsequently reviewed the album, I think at that point I recognized the true value of the song. I do agree with you, Dave, about Randy. Now, I like Lamb of God and I like Randy Blythe. I think he's a really good vocalist. You can definitely tell it's him. It's not like, you know, it could be Andrea doing that bit on the album. You can definitely tell it's him. And I think you're right, it is a bit of a kind of a scooper, it's a coup to, you know, to have him as a friend of the band coming on and doing this. And they've done that on other occasions on this album. So it's good to have him on there. But as you say, or as you inferred, when you hear the song live, you don't miss him, do you? And he does a perfectly, perfectly good version of it. And I find it a little confusing as a fan of the band that they've done that, because I would have kind of thought that you would bring a guest vocal on that brought something completely different to a song. But I don't think he does bring something completely different to the song, because as I say, because when you listen to it live, you don't go, oh, they've had to pipe his vocals in over the speakers and then sing along with that. Otherwise, you'd lose an important element. Do you see what I mean? It's still got all of the dimensions of hosting the shadow without him being there. And I don't want anybody thinking I'm criticizing Randy Blythe. I'm generally not. And I'm not criticizing Lacuna Coil. I'm just being critical of the song itself, saying it doesn't need him there. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that makes sense and nobody takes offense at that. I love the opening, and I think you picked up on something that I didn't about it, having that kind of caramelized vibe about it. Absolutely true. Absolutely true. And I think it definitely feels like a modern caramelized song with growling, because of course we didn't really get growling during the caramelized era of Lacuna Coil. We get it now. Mm. And there's lots of callbacks throughout Sleepless Empire to other periods of their musical journey, and I've said it before, and I think we've all kind of commented on that, it feels like a very, very complete album when you think about the journey that Lacuna Coil have been on. I actually think that Christina's vocals on this, though good, I don't feel like she's really stretching herself in this. It's a good song, right? It's a good chorus, because I'm not afraid of the absence of life at the bottom of the well of fire and respite, etc. She sings it with the level of capability that is really easy to take for granted from Christina, right? Because she just makes everything sound amazing, so it's really hard to be critical of her, if you see what I mean. But I feel like,
it's a damn it, woman. Why aren't you struggling more?
Well, they are so like, when you put it like that, Dave, it makes you sound like a right prick. that's not what I'm trying to say. I guess it's one of those things where you kind of go, okay, it's well within her range. She does it really, really well. On stage live, it sounds great. And the combination of the growl and the clean vocals is there. But when I think of, say, something like House of Shame,
mm-hmm.
where there's that kind of angelic voice from Christina compared to Andy's guttural growls, that I find more compelling than this, if you see what I mean, as a lyrical comparison between the Beauty and the Beast, as the cliche goes.
It's still interesting, but it feels to me like it's very much more middle of the road, not a criticism, so that it's more radio friendly. You see what I mean? Okay. That's kind of how I see it. And again, not a criticism. What does always make me giggle? Does always make me giggle is the growl line, which I think is absolutely amazing. I have to say, was no room for negotiation, because someone had to tell Randy Blythe, "We want you to growl the word negotiation," yeah. And you could almost imagine him going, "Fuck off! You want me?
How
to
does
do
that scan
negotiation?" You know, it's like. It's not an easy word to say, let alone growl. And I just love the fact that it's not only in that sentence, or it's at the end of the line, so it really has to, it's attention called to it. And I wonder if he did the vocals for that, or whether it was kind of Christina. Guys, just, you could say negotiation, is that fine? And him going, yeah, all right, I'll do it. But I wonder how many takes there would. There were, I should say.
Yeah, we want to hear the bloopers.
Yeah, yeah. But just trying to kind of get that one out and maintain the tempo of the song, because you can feel it was a bit of a challenge. I like that. Lyric wise, it's pretty simple, but I do like the way it kind of starts off with "My time is up, but I don't care." That kind of rebelliousness, and then right at the end of it, you've got "Laughing with my shadow." So it starts off with a kind of I march alone, alienated. I'm hosting this shadow, this darkness within me. But at the end of it, I've come to terms with it, and I'm kind of literally, it says, "I'm finding comfort into the gloom, feeling bulletproof." Mm. Kind of cool. It's like I don't give a shit anymore.
The symbiotic relationship by the end.
Yeah, yeah. I'm moving forward. I'm moving forward. I do wonder, and I probably said this before in reviews, how many Lacuna Coil songs use rain as a metaphor? Because that rain falls down a lot in their music, right? Mm. And I'd be interested. And again, not a criticism. I just noticed it when I was looking at the lyrics earlier today. And I was like,
"There's a mission for someone.
Let the rain fall hard and purge the road, because my life feels so uneasy. I've got nothing to lose. Oh, I know. You know." It's like, yep, yeah, there's that rain again.
Pouring down.
More pouring down. Pouring down. I didn't think it rained that lot in Milan, but who knew?
No.
Again, I feel like I'm being really critical. I'm not. I do like this song a lot, and I think it makes a great. It's a great place on the album. It's in that kind of middle point for me before it goes into perhaps a slightly older kind of style, which we'll see coming up soon. So it feels like a bit of a pivot point. If it wasn't "I Wish You Were Dead," it's "I Host in the Shadow." It feels like a pivot point for me in terms of the style of the album. And I think it's in a really good place. So I like it. I really like it loud. I like it loud. I really like it live. Really like it live. It really comes into its own. And I can understand, actually, Mike, we talked about the video, why the video that they've done is a live video, because
yeah.
You get that kind of energy right coming through, because it is an earworm. It's easy to sing along to, the chorus especially. It's got a kind of a really good tempo to it. It's definitely,
I think, one of the reasons it works live as well is that split between the verse and the chorus, when you've got the moshing, everyone's moshing for the verses.
Yeah,
that grinding, and then they stop and holler out the chorus.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, it's a absolutely solid song. What are we going to give it in terms of numbers, Dave? What would you give Hosting the Shadow?
I've got a couple of numbers, actually, because as you said, interesting, you said it was a grower. So to start with, and this is one of the only notes I've kept here, was when it first came out, I wasn't completely sold on it. I wasn't entrenched as... I hadn't had enough listens, I guess. So it was a 6, because it seemed far more plodding. But I think over the time, you understand it more, you get more out of it. Mm-hmm. So 8.5.
Okay, 8.5. Is that what you're sticking with? Yeah, so that's what you feel right about it. Yeah. No, I get that. Mike, what about you, mate?
Strong 8.
Yeah. I think I'm probably I'm reflecting on what you just said there, Dave. It was about a 6 when I first heard it. And that's not a bad thing. It was a good song, but it didn't blow me away. Now I would say, I don't really like halves, I think it's about an 8 for me. So it's a solid, solid song. I don't put it on its own. I do listen to it as part of the album. You know, it's not one of those songs I reach out for anytime, but I enjoy it. And I think it's a good song. It's in a good place on the album.
That's where my extra half point comes from, because I would put that on as a single on its own.
Or is it two singles that have been joined together?
Could, yeah. Dear Mackie.
Fair enough. All right, so we're saying an 8.5 from you, 8 from Mike, 8 from myself. That's not bad. That's not a bad number. All right, good stuff. That is Hosting the Shadow. Right, well, I think that brings us to an end, a close.
Actually.
Oh, no, it's not. All right.
Not quite the end. If I just give a quick mention, because I was chatting to some coilers on Discord, and our friend Oscar highlighted something to me, which was a bit of a revelation. But he'd done a bit of fiddling around on some software, so audio software, for the beginning of the Siege.
The Siege.
There's that little that first intro at the beginning of the Siege. So he played it backwards.
As you do. That's very Black Sabbath.
And realized it is the chorus to Swamped.
Interesting.
So I thought this was.
Is it the chorus to Swamped though? Or is it just the same, like, tonally sounds similar?
I was intrigued, so I did my own experiment. I've actually got a little video snippet of doing it to prove the point. So yes, I did it essentially live on the screen, reversed the intro and played it side by side by the Swamped chorus, and it is the same. It is actually the Swamped chorus.
Wow, that definitely feels like an interview question for the next time we speak to Mr. Cotizalati, isn't it?
Yes.
All
right. Okay.
Further probing, I think, is
needed here. You could.
Suck not alien sort of like probing.
I'm not probing, Mackie. When I go to dinner.
All right. Okay. So, the Siege has the chorus to Swamped backwards in it. Is what you're telling me?
Exactly that.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be weird though if Swamped had the chorus to the Siege at the front of it? Like, bear me out here. Like, all those years ago, you know, 2002. Remember the bit of the Swamp? You know, the bit of Swamp. That bit at the beginning of it. That if you reverse that, it was actually the chorus to the Siege, and he'd recorded it, reversed it all those years ago, and only chosen to use it in a chorus 20 years later in a song that the beginning of it, he had chosen to use the reverse of the chorus.
That would indeed be epic.
How awesome would that be? That would be like a kind of a weird musical time loop or something. It would feel like, anyway. Wow. Can you imagine doing that as a band? Like, right, laying down some tracks, reversing them, and using them in a current song, but keeping those tracks and then using them at a later album, just so that you could create this kind of loop, this connection between these, like quantum entanglement. There you go. There's my fringe head coming out. Wow. Right. Anyway, thank you for that interview, Dave. And if anybody out there in the Coilerverse wants to play all of Lacuna Core's music up back to front and see if they can find out other links between albums, you're more than welcome to do it. Look forward to hearing the results, but try not to drive yourself mad in the process. Very good. Right. Well, that brings us to a close of this episode of the Empty Spiral podcast. I hope you've enjoyed listening to us, our ramblings and reviews, etc. Thank you again to Mackie for joining us and being so honest in his opinion. It's so amazing to spend time with him and talk to him about these things. He's got such a passion for what he does. And we hope you, chill out to some more Lacuna Coil and join us again in the future. Thank you very much and goodbye.
Cheers, everyone.
So long.
Isn't there like an Australian word you want to say at this point?
Street, no.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Bye then.